Here we go. Hello and welcome everyone to Stepping Into Sovereignty, activating the fierce love of the sacred feminine, where wisdom keepers from all over the globe are summoning up the courage to take decisive and loving action to create the future we desire. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and we're here today with my dear friend, Jules Wingfield. So excited to have you on the call, Jules. Tell me again, where are you located?
We are on the border of Wales and England between two major rivers, and it's the Forest of Dean, which is the largest remaining true forest, as in it's been here since the Ice Age in the UK.
Beautiful.
And we're right in the middle, up a dirt track, surrounded 360 degrees by trees.
Beautiful. That's so awesome. So thank you for bringing that yummy energy into this call with us. Jules is a leading light in her field, where she aspires to be a powerful catalyst for human evolution through her deep embodied wisdom, using her gifts to create a world of environmental harmony, spiritual alignment, and equality. She's a natural group leader, a soul alchemist, an earth steward, a womb wisdom keeper, high priestess, and a force of nature, a wild force of nature. Jules has over three decades of experience working in the field of human evolution and eco-spirituality. She brings a deep embodied wisdom for women and an understanding of the challenges we are all facing at this time. She's an inspiring leader who breaks the mold of the old ways and returns us to the sacred in both ourselves and the natural world around us. And today she's going to talk to us about menopause, claiming the gift of power. Jules, I'm so excited to have you and excited about your topic. So why, you know, I think a lot of times when women think about menopause, at least here in the States, it's like, why is it so important? And why is it important to talk about?
Yeah, right. That's a great start. And and I guess the first thing to say is I'm probably about two-thirds of the way through menopause. I keep thinking, I think I'm out the other side now. And then wham, I get this next wave that comes right in. And one of the symptoms, is why I'm naming it now, one of the symptoms is that I literally forget. The other day I was writing an email and I got to the word the. And I was like, how do you spell the? How do you spell the? And I was like, the, is it V, is it, I just couldn't. And that is what happens to my brain.
Right.
So I'm flagging that up now because I might lose the ability to remember the word.
Right.
So I'm very much reliant on just trying to be a clearer channel as possible so that doesn't happen. It's been happening a lot recently and being on summits, I'm like, no, what's going on? What's the power of speech? I'm sure there'll be women out there in the menopause who can completely relate to that.
Sure.
So we begin from the place that a woman's journey, her womb journey over her life is a journey of power. It's a journey into her power. So when we're born, that's the first rite of passage, initiation into being into this world. And then the second rite of passage is menarche, when we have our first bleed. Mm-hmm. And that we talk about as being an initiation into power, because that cyclical nature of our menstrual cycle connects us and plugs us in to what I call wombology. It's like it's a cosmology that's embedded in our bodies as women. Mm-hmm. And that cosmology, that wombology that's embedded in our bodies is an exact mirror and replica of what's going on in the cosmos, in nature, in the cycles of the year. Mm-hmm. So it's an initiation into power, into a deep, profound connection, into the cyclical beautiful spiritual nature of life. So it's a mm-hmm. spiritual journey of what is power embodied in the feminine, in mm-hmm. woman, mm-hmm. and what do I do with this power? How do I navigate this power? So when back when we still had indigenous wisdom and we were living more closely with nature and connected to the land, we would have been guided by the menopausal women as maidens mm-hmm. in this first, in you know, in this second initiation, mm-hmm. First bleed, in having this explained to us, you are now going to start feeling your power as a feminine principle, as a, in a woman's body. And we need to guide you in how to use that power, because of course, if you don't know how to use that power, it could end up in the dark side, right. Either destructive towards yourself mm-hmm. or destructive outwardly. Mm-hmm. And if we look at our modern world, we can see that with a lot of young women who have not had the opportunity to be guided and held and mentored. Mm-hmm. And they've got all this power and they're like, what do I do with it? So they're either like right out there with it and just kind of throwing their bodies on the altar of life.
Right. But right.
With no self-care or very little self-care. Mm-hmm. And it's not helpful, and they're looking for guidance. It's like at that time of menarche, it's when we're looking for the container, we're looking for that link. Mm-hmm. So we start to move through. So let's come back to the journey. So the journey of power. So that first menarche, that first bleed, is an initiation into power. And then we move through our life and we're kind of practicing our power. We're getting the handle on, well, what is this power that I have? Mm-hmm. How is it in service to life, to me, mm-hmm. to creativity, to beauty, to spirituality, mm-hmm. to the mystery, to all of that? Mm-hmm. And then we arrive at the third rite of passage, which is menopause. Mm-hmm. Which is the transition from being in a menstrual cycle to not being in a menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the key things about these two rites of passage is that they are one of the sort of physical aspects of it. It's to do with our hormones. It's what's happening hormonally in our body. Mm-hmm. And as we know, our hormones are as affected by our state of consciousness and by our sense of the mystery and our sacredness and how we are embedded into nature and into the web of life, as they are about what we eat or, mm-hmm. you know, what job we have or whether we have children or not. It's right. We're so utterly connected. And in our modern culture, I think the society or the sort of allopathic medicine sees, mm-hmm. you know, the hormones as, well, these are just happening in you and you've got to get on board with it. But actually, I don't see it like that. Our hormones are configured mm-hmm. by our state of consciousness and by how deeply we're connected.
Wow.
So this menarche, when we first arrive in a bleed, this hormonal cycle starts to take place. And of course, one of the strongest drivers in that is the ovulatory cycle, of the possibility of ovulating and reproducing. Mm-hmm. And that one of the hormones in that, estrogen, is commonly known as the accommodating cycle, because it's designed evolutionarily to make sure that we tend to life, that we nurture and care for life. Mm-hmm. And in order to prioritize nurturing and caring for life and making sure that the children are safe and well, we maybe have to sort of sacrifice ourselves a little bit or accommodate our own needs a little bit, maybe compromise. But of course, this has gone off the scale now in our modern right. world,
right.
where women are just totally, you know, at the bottom of the pile when it comes mm-hmm. to what do I need? What about self-care for me? What about mm-hmm. my life? And so on. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been trained in. Mm-hmm. So when we come to menopause, the key, well, there's lots of things going on, but if we just talk about this estrogen one, estrogen drops. Mm-hmm. So suddenly the veils of all the ways that we've been accommodating absolutely everybody except ourselves, mm-hmm. that falls away. And it's like we take a truth pill and we see.
Yeah.
It's like the veils have fallen away. We take the medicine and we're like, oh my God.
Right,
and we see all the ways in which we've overridden ourselves. And at this point in a woman's life, often every aspect of her life, or a lot of aspects of her life, gets put on the bonfire. You know, what the hell am I doing looking after all of these people? What about me? What about my marriage? Hang on, where was I in this marriage? And what about my children? Where am I in all of this? What about my career? Is it really the career? Why am I doing this? So we question everything, which is important, because any rite of passage is a process of death and rebirth. So we, in order to rebirth ourselves, we have to be willing to let go of what no longer serves us. And that is the process of menopause, fundamentally, is a kind of alchemical process of looking at the entirety of our life and going, I need to put myself at the center of my life. And I am now, if I have done the work from before and I'm not in this sacrificial loop, I am now service to the mystery. I am service to life, but not at the cost of myself. It should never have been at the cost of ourselves. So the process of menopause gives us one more chance to go, hey sister, have you been overriding yourself? Where have you been overriding yourself? Because going forwards, if you are truly going to be in service to life and in service to the mystery, we can't have any of this nonsense of you sacrificing yourself. It's not going to work, because you don't have the energy to do that anymore. You don't have the resources and you don't have the time. It's a tough process. And in a way, it's the premenstrual phase of the monthly ovulatory menopause, you know, bleed cycle. It's the premenstrual phase multiplied by 100 in its kind of energy imprint and lasting for 10 years. Because it's the same, like the monthly cycle, which has its four sections, winter, spring, summer, and autumn. The menopause is your life cycle of winter, birth, spring, summer, and now we're in the autumn of our life cycle, and it's a direct mirror of the monthly cycle, that inner season. So women often come to this conscious womb work just at the point where they're hitting menopause. And then they're like, well, I'm furious because I haven't had a chance. Why didn't anyone tell me this stuff? I now feel like it's too late for me. I can't consciously bleed. I can't do this wonderful thing that you're talking about that sounds so amazing, that would have completely changed the trajectory of my life and my health and my well-being, and I would have had myself at the center of my life. And now it's too late. So there's a mixture of anger and grief. The beauty of the menopause is it's like one last cycle, one last premenstrual phase where we get to do the whole backlog of all the time, because we weren't given that opportunity to now do that work. And the degree to which we haven't maybe paid attention to that, it's all going to show up in menopause. And from the teachings of where I'm coming from, the symptoms are not the problem to be gotten rid of. The symptoms are the teacher. The symptoms are pointing to what one's tending to in where we are out of alignment with our power, where we are out of alignment with living from our deepest, most authentic, no bullshit, in service to life place as a woman.
So I'm just like, everything is flying in my mind right now, because I've, you know, I teach this in the States, and for whatever reason, I always bow to the sisters in Europe, because I feel like there's been a lot more practice. I may be wrong. And so, but I've watched, I work, you know, I do energy work. I work on women and girls. And I've had the occasion recently to watch a young girl hit that. And even though there was kind of teachings around, there weren't any. And she just went nuts. And I went nuts. We all do that. So Is there, what would you say to women now, especially when they hit that angry point and, you know, they get through their own stuff, what can women do to heal this for the future? How can we reach those youngins? And because by the time they get to age 12 or 13, they're not listening.
No. So. They're not. Yeah, absolutely. And why would they?
Right.
When, you know, because who are they listening to? Billboards with ridiculous, you know, images of what a woman is supposed to be? Mm-hmm. Our political systems, our educational systems. I mean, quite frankly, I think there's a little wisdom in the fact that they're not listening.
Right.
You know, they're not listening because, you know, I remember when I was a child and my relationship with my grandmother, mm-hmm. and I was really blessed because I didn't have, you know, I didn't have an upbringing from my parents, quite frankly. You know, I was kind of on my own pretty much from age four. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother, even though she wasn't like connected and womb wisdom medicine woman or anything like that. She was just a very old fashioned kind of archetypal sort of patriarchal grandmother. Mm-hmm. But the wisdom in her and the feeling of safety that I had with her, that I could talk to her about things that I couldn't talk to my mum about. I couldn't talk to my teachers about, or I couldn't. And there was some way in which I felt like she kind of had her hand on my back. Mm-hmm. And it was really simple. We wouldn't even necessarily talk about anything deep, mm-hmm. but it was this feeling like she was interested in me. And she sort of, there was this unspoken way in which I felt like she gets me. Mm-hmm. She gets me and she's got a hand on my back. And there was something about that that was so fundamental to my childhood. It was the light. Forward to it so much. And I look back on that and I reflect on it, and it's something about that, because of course, you know, these young girls today, they aren't going to go and sit in a teepee with a bunch of menopausal women and go, hey, tell me about periods, you know, I'm really up for no, you know,
right, exactly, right,
because there's no bridge there, you know, we've got to make a bridge somehow. But I do want to speak about the importance of the relationship between the menopausal woman and the maiden women. Mm-hmm. So the menopausal woman is the high priestess in the archetype. So you've got the crone in winter, who's the wise old woman. Mm-hmm. You've got the maiden in spring, talking about the life arc now of the woman. You've got the maiden in the spring of her life. Then you've got the creatress in the summer of her life. And I specifically use the word creatress because mm-hmm. if we say mother, there's so many ways that we can be a mother. Like, we're all mothering and caring for the earth all the time. And there are women who choose to be mothers with children, and there are women who choose to be mothers with life, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So process of creativity, of creation. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the high priestess in autumn. And these archetypes are really important because they hold wisdom, they hold teachings. And you can't become a high priestess until you've really fully lived your maiden years, hopefully with guidance, mm-hmm. really fully lived your creatress years, hopefully with guidance, then you can step into the menopausal years, the high priestess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the relationship, in the same way that I'm talking about my grandmother, the daughters, the maidens, they can't speak to the mother about these things because the whole process that they are in is about individuation and separation from the bond with the mother, mm-hmm. in order to find a sense of self. Mm-hmm. So if they continue, even if the mother was being the most amazing mother in the world and had all the wisdom and all the connection and was running menarche ceremonies for everybody else's children.
Right.
It's like there's the point of her journey into power as a maiden is she's pulling away from the guidance of the mother and stepping into her own power. Mm-hmm. So that's why it has to skip the generation. Mm-hmm. And the menopausal women are still connected enough to being in the world, because by the time you get to the crone, it's like it's a whole other thing. And how deep she's gone. And of course, there is a connection there too. But this connection between the menopausal women and the maidens is really, really key, because they're still connected to the cycle enough to be able to make a bridge to her. And they're still in this process of alchemizing their own power. So there's gifts on both sides, because one of the aspects of the menopausal journey, I mean, in Chinese, the word menopause translates as second spring. So when a woman is in the menopause, she's going through a death and rebirth to rebirth herself through a winter and back into spring again. It's like, how am I preparing myself for the second part of my life? Now, we're not trying to recapture our youth in that. Definitely not. We're trying to claim our beauty and our power and how the mystery moves through us as a woman in her late 40s, her 50s, her 60s. So if young maidens were having that modeled to them, that as a menopausal woman, this is what power looks like, this is what sexuality looks like, this is what deep beauty, deep feminine wisdom looks like, this is what you have to look, this is what you can feel inspired by in terms of as you step onto this path.
Wow.
And the gateway to what we each archetype has a gateway teaching, and the gateway teachings of the High Priestess is sexuality. And women always at this point go, what, sexuality? No, I mean, menopause, whatever, you know, like, we're all like not beautiful anymore, don't want sex, not interested, it's all, you know, all of that stuff. And the reason why the teachings from the High Priestess to the Maiden are so important is because what's happening in the High Priestess, in the menopausal woman, is sexuality is changing. It's not going away, it's changing. It's changing from a drive to reproduce on a primal level, to be about pleasure and creativity and wildness and aliveness and all of that stuff. It's now in service to spirituality, to mystery. So it's not that we don't feel sexuality in other parts of our life. We do, but it's what it's in service to. And now it's in service to the mystery, or it's moving in that direction. Because when we get to the crone, then it's completely in service to the cosmos. It's like it's absolutely aligned with spirit. And so this is the same in the monthly cycle. When a woman comes to her premenstrual phase in the monthly cycle, sexuality there is also in service to spirituality, in service to the holy space of the temple. And that's why often women in premenstrual and in the menopause start kind of kicking off about, well, I don't want to have just mindless sort of disconnected wham bam thank you ma'am sex, you know, lie back and take it every Saturday because that's the contract of marriage. You know, she's now saying, well, before she was saying, you know what, okay sex is better than no sex at all. Menopausal woman is saying no sex is better than okay sex. I'm not prepared to accept anything less than holy space if I'm going to enter into the sexual realms, because I'm feeling now this connection to my sexuality that is in aligned with the mystery. It's in service to something so much bigger than me. It's like stepping into the temple with muddy boots on. You're not going to do it. You're aware when you step into the temple, into holy space, it's like, whoa, I need to be in reverence here. I need to understand that this is so much more than me. And if you're in an ovulatory cycle and hormonally driven to reproduce your species, that's a very dominating cycle and much more difficult to connect with this holy space. So then if you don't ovulate and you come into the premenstrual phase every month, you're preparing for holy space, which is the bleed, which is when you step into the temple. So the process of the menopause and of premenstrual is a clearing the way to step into holy space in relation to sexuality. So for me, what I see needs to happen is if the high priestesses, if the menopausal women can be guiding the maidens with their sexuality, they're far more likely to take care of themselves and to listen to what's right for them, to make intelligence decisions. And if they're doing that, because sexuality is so at the heart of what it is to be woman, it's embedded in our creativity and it is our spirituality. If our sexuality is healthy, everything else is more likely to line up.
Right.
And when women are in menopause and they go off sex and the hormones literally are shutting down, as I was saying before, because our hormones can be created by the choices in our mental state and our sense of consciousness, if only rubbish sex or kind of okay sex is on the menu, and you're in a relationship where you don't really know how to say no to that because you've always said yes to that and it's kind of how it is, your body's going to do it for you. And the intelligence of your womb and your cycles and your hormonal construction is going to do it for you and say, well, let's just shut it down. As a way of saying, no, I'm not prepared to accept that anymore. And until I align myself with my deepest truth about what I do want sexually, we're not playing, basically.
Right. Wow. So, wow, this has been so enlightening, and there's more I want to ask. So, but it feels like the potent place to go is that, and I don't want to be a killjoy, but it's like, this feels like a big job to get women from where we are now to where we need to be.
Yes.
With menopause. So talk to us about why women need to be working spiritually with menopause. It's pretty obvious, but I really want you to speak into that.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I'm speaking to it with what I'm saying, but let's give it some context in terms of what's happening in the world.
Right.
So what is the key thing that has been missing in our world for the last 6,000 years that has created the mess that we're in? Mm-hmm. It's the disconnect of us from the cyclical nature of life.
Yeah.
It's the disconnect from the reverence and the holiness of nature itself. Yeah. It's the disconnect for women of their menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, the menstrual cycle has become a dirty thing. You know, it's like a dirty word. It's like we all aspire to pretending that it's not happening, and all the adverts of women playing tennis, and it's all blue blood, and you know, it's all wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. But actually, that's exactly the opposite direction that we needed to be going in.
Right.
Because if we disconnect from our cyclical nature, mm-hmm. we're then disconnected from the cycles of life. We're disconnected from how much we need the natural world around us to survive, let alone the reverence, but just as a sense of need and survival. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very easy to use her at our disposal and not feel it. Mm-hmm. If we get connected, if we put a taproot from our womb back into the earth and we start connecting to our cycle, we're going to viscerally in our body feel the pain and the wrongness of what we're doing to the natural world. Mm-hmm. And unless we feel it, how are we going to, from our heart, make a decision to change it? Mm-hmm. It's going to be an intellectual decision. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a guilt decision. It's going to be a fear decision rather than a decision from our love. Because when we feel a tree being cut down, it feels like one of our legs is being cut off. When we see and drink the water that's polluted, we feel it in our body viscerally. It's like our menstrual blood has been polluted. Mm-hmm. So for women, and of course this is easier to do for women because we have a womb. Well, any human being, I mean, if we, you know, we don't name it as women, but any human being who has this womb and has a menstrual cycle is gifted, he's been offered this gift of coming back into connection to the cyclical nature. And we need to be the voice of that. We need to speak about that from a place of our connection in order to touch the hearts of those who don't have that reflect the men of the world or the human beings that don't have this natural connection.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you don't have a womb cycle, you can still connect. And there are many people who do still connect in the energetic way.
Mm-hmm.
But when something is so viscerally embodied in a hormonal, physical way through the elemental experience of it, mm-hmm. it's like it's right here in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the power that that is bringing through our bodies and potentially how we translate that
mm-hmm.
into how we can speak about that. So it's no longer getting on the soapbox and guilt tripping everyone into buying recycled loo roll,
mm-hmm.
but actually to be able to transmit this frequency from our wombs up through our hearts, out through our mouths
mm-hmm.
to speak of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because love is the thing that I see transforming and alchemizing humans beyond any other modality.
Absolutely.
When our hearts are touched, when our hearts break, when we feel the pain of something holy being broken, or love being somehow, you know, broken,
mm-hmm.
that's what opens us. And that's what we need to be doing, is opening. So menopausal women have such a potent connection to this because we're bringing in the sexuality as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's connecting her to her power in such a potent way
mm-hmm.
that isn't just only about her seeking her own pleasure, which causes it fundamentally important, fundamental, let's get that on the table. But, you know, orgasmic energy is a transformational energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in orgasmic energy in an aligned way that we understand what that energy is about, we can channel and move that energy in certain ways. We can affect change in the field around us. I could tell you a story about how I got planning permission here on our project using orgasmic energy with a circle of women.
Wow.
And a woman in the planning office who had no idea what was going on. But talking directly to her womb.
Exactly. Wow.
You know, it's so, things like that.
So I'm jumping on that. So here's the thing, because, you know, as you're speaking and you're definitely doing, I mean, people, just in case you were wondering for all of our listeners, it's like, I can feel the passion coming up through your body as you speak. So you're embodying what you're talking about. But the other piece of me is in a state that I think a lot of our listeners may be of overwhelm. It's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what have we done? And how can we fix it? And everyone has that feeling of, I'm just one small voice. No one's ever going to listen to me. But you literally affected change without having to jump through all those hoops. Oh, please talk to us about that.
Well, even though I sit here on my own speaking to you today,
mm-hmm.
the key thing is that I am not on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So the feminine works best in collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
We have been taught as women to operate as isolated units.
Yeah.
We've been taught to compete with our sisters, to compete with each other. We've been taught that we have to be everything to everyone and sacrifice ourselves and do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fundamental shift that wants to happen. And in the women's work that we do here, the Women's Initiatory Program,
mm-hmm.
it's all about helping women to come back into a collaborative way of being. So
mm-hmm.
without the circle around you, you're going to hit overwhelm and you're going to feel like you're one grain of sand on the beach and what's the bloody point? I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between me walking down a street in a city shouting at the top of my voice, we need to change, you know, we need to do that. Lock me up, you know, nut right. job on the beach.
Right.
You imagine if there's like 1,000 women or 2,000 women walking down that street,
mm-hmm.
maybe naked, maybe with their drums, maybe dancing in an empowered, connected way, maybe with menstrual blood all over them, who knows what? I mean, that's probably sure. going a bit far. You know, but the power of that, mm-hmm. yeah, when women come together, there's a beautiful story that a woman told me many, many years ago. She was, can't remember where she was from, a country in West Africa, mm-hmm. and she talked about the militia, and when the militia come to the village, and they just want to decimate the village, basically. Mm-hmm. And the women in the village, and she told this story as mm-hmm. Her friend who was from this village, the women in the village got together, and they made a plan. They said, when the militia come, this is what we're going to do. And they decided that what they would do is stand in the middle of the village in a circle, facing out, naked, and just stand there and do the best that they could to be open-hearted and be totally connected to the earth and bring their feminine power. Now, you think logically, well, a group of women sit standing in a circle naked while a bunch of soldiers come to decimate the village. How is that women in their power? But actually, what happened? The soldiers came and they just didn't know how to handle that. It's like it just fucked their brain. It's like completely disarming. Mm-hmm. And that's an example. For me, it's the most beautiful example of feminine power working in collaboration. I'm not suggesting that we all need to do that here, but it's a very powerful story that points to the antidote to why we feel so overwhelmed and why we feel like what each of us are doing is not enough and ineffectual. On our own, we cannot do really very much at all. Mm-hmm. Even women who are in strong leadership, which I am definitely in a position of strong leadership, mm-hmm. I could not do what I do without a really strong circle of sisters around me. I am absolutely, you know, I do not see myself as any more than they are. I can only sit here and do this because of the circle of sisters I have around me that support me, and the circle of brothers, actually, and sure. my partner. Mm-hmm. And that is fundamental. And that's the paradigm shift that we've got to make, because we're still in this thinking around, you know, I've got to do so much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, all we really need to do is come back to ourselves. You know, truly to ourselves.
Oh, Jules, I could do this for hours. So closing words for our listeners, if you want to leave them with a message, and we're going to talk about your free gift and all of that, but what would you say to them?
What would you say? I would say, join a circle of sisters, go on an initiatory journey, get connected to your cycle, track your cycle. If you're a menopausal woman, get connected to other menopausal women, take this journey of menopause, open to the possibility of it being a spiritual rite of passage, of a death and a rebirth, of you claiming your power. You're not mad, you're more sane than you've ever been, you're connected to truth in a way that you never have been before. Right. And just see, can you connect in some way to the cyclical nature? And more than anything, be in nature. Just let nature be the teacher. Take your shoes and socks off, stand on the earth, feel the cold grass, dig your toes into that soil and get the dirt right up in there in the cracks of your toes and smell it and love it and just, that.
That's beautiful. So you have a free gift on your page called Journey to the Autumn Queen. And is that like a meditation?
Yeah, it's a drum journey with Beautiful. My drum. Yeah, Beautiful. This drum. It's a drum journey that it's rooted in the way that I teach, which is the Celtic teachings of the Wundala. So it's indigenous Celtic teachings from our lands about the women's cycles. Beautiful. So it's a drum journey to go in and meet your autumn queen woman, your high priestess, and connect with her and get wisdom in how to take the next step forwards.
Beautiful. That's perfect. And if folks want to get more work with you, they can get on your website.
They can get on their website. There's two trajectories that they can go down. There's the couples program and there's the women's initiatory program. I only work with 40 women a year, 40 women every year who are absolutely committed to transformation. They come on this program, they get absolutely everything from me, and it's powerful, life-changing.
Oh, I can feel that for sure. Jules, thank you so much. This was, as always, utterly amazing, and we so appreciate your wisdom on this planet. Thanks for showing up.
Thank you for inviting me, Kathy. It's always loads of fun talking to you.
All right, love. Thank you.